This is Diane, and this is Among the Realms radio show. And we're coming to you once again from the Trinity Metaphysical Center at the Hardeston Plaza North in Hamburg, New Jersey, on Route 23. And with me tonight, of course, is the effervescent Jackie,
hello,
the proprietress of this establishment, and Charlie.
Hello.
And Dana.
Hello.
And Mercedes. So we welcome all of you. Jackie, why don't you just tell us what goes on here at Trinity Metaphysical Center on any given day?
Lots of things. So we provide readings, energy work, massage therapy, psychic portraits. What else do we do? Classes, workshops. We have a bring a friend event the second Friday of every month, where we have all of our services discounted. All of our practitioners are here that day. And that runs from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. And each Tuesday of every month, we run a class. So various classes, psychic development, past life regression, sometimes spirit guide meditation or astral travel, all different kinds of things.
So if you're interested in anything of that nature, you can contact the Trinity Metaphysical Center at 973-209-7070 or at our website. And the Trinity Metaphysical Center is also the home of the Equipped Ghost Hunters, East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. You can also contact us through the Trinity Metaphysical Center if you need anything investigated. And investigations, there's no charge, so... Okay, so we're going to do tonight. Oh, tonight we're doing past life regressions. Not that we're going to sit here and have any, but... Okay, Jackie, what is a past life regression?
That is when we recover memories from our past lives or reincarnation. And usually it's done with a long meditation or hypnosis. And a person goes back and, you know, retrieves their memories. For the most part, most people do get, you know, something. If you're somebody open to believing in past life, you're definitely going to get something. One of the things about that is not everybody believes in past lives or reincarnation. And, you know, that's one of the things that we have to deal with as well. Charlie could probably fill in a little more on that and on the reincarnation part of the beliefs on that, but that does roll into the past life. So do you want to explain why people don't always believe if they're religious or, you know, in reincarnation?
Oh, yeah, I'm a real expert on that. No, everybody's got their own ideas. I mean, I didn't really believe it in the past either. It's just the fact that, when we're doing our thing here in the shop and I'll think of something and write it down, and Jackie will think of something and write it down, and then when you come and you start talking about a past life experience that you had, and both of you think about the same thing, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously something's going on there. But a lot of people sit there and they say they don't believe in past lives. 10 years ago, I would have said, no, I probably didn't believe in past lives. But it's also the fact that you believe in future lives,
mm-hmm.
All right? Or when you die, is there something else going on? Are you going somewhere? If you are going somewhere, well, then what about the people before you? Did they go somewhere too? Are you living another life from that mm-hmm. person? It only makes sense. And the more that you uncover evidence of any type of paranormal type of situation with ghosts, it even enforces more the fact that, gee, a past life, it probably did happen. My past life was one of them, was the fact that I saw myself in a dark cave, and it was cold. I couldn't breathe too well, this and that. And Jackie came up that I was in a mine. I mean, how do you come up with that in the same mm-hmm. night? I mean, you know, the idea is, I don't know, you sit there and you say, is it something that was predestined? Was it something that really did happen? Well, I find it more than coincidence. Coincidence is the answer for people that don't have answers. They like the word coincidence mm-hmm. because, hey, it wipes out everything. Whereas if you try to find answers, when you try to find the answers and you do find something, you know, you have the non-believers, just like Christ. Mm-hmm. People sit there and say, well, you know, is Christ alive today? Guess what? You know, you can believe that he's not alive. And when you die, you'll answer to that idea. I would rather believe that he is alive. And if he's not, well, I'll be surprised. But if he is, I'm on the good side. So it's a matter of what you want to believe in.
Yeah, and I definitely think that certain religions, those people, you know, just they adamantly don't believe that it's possible for us to have lived lives before. Mm-hmm. But there are, you know, situations or experiences that we have that you can't explain how is that not possible? How do I have those memories? Or, you know, how can, when we do a group regression and you're in there getting your lives and I'm getting a life for you and we're not even discussing it, and after it's all done, we get the same life, then obviously then that was the life you were meant to pull out that day, whether it be, you know, to help you with something now or not. And that's part of recovering your past lives. It's good that benefits you. Is sometimes it can, you know, release any types of fears or issues you're dealing with now, because once you acknowledge, oh, that's from a past life, it doesn't need to be in this life. You know, there's a lot of people that have been able to release fears of height or water, you know, just in our group recessions, you know, or regressions that we've had. So, I mean, I think it's great that way.
It's funny what you just said about past lives and fears and what you have. I took a class years ago. I took it with my wife and my two kids. We went to this place, and it was one of these places for developing a sales mentality and overcoming your fears of talking to people and how you would sell and this and that. And the fellow that was running it was very interesting, and he goes, all of your fears come from what you've experienced in the past. And he was only talking about this life, though. He was talking about you being a child, and all the things that you were afraid of come bubbling up as you become an adult, and they come out in a certain format. Like if somebody says something to you and you would react to it, either in a good way or a bad way, that was one of the filters already preset in your life now. Whereas now when we know we have past lives, we sit there and we say, gee, we've had many other filters before this life that are coming through to us. One of the things I like to think about, not only filters, is the fact that how do you explain a 7-year-old child playing the piano like a concert pianist, and people say, well, he's just talented. I think not. You know, I'm thinking maybe he had these talents in a past life, and they filtered through, and yes, he had to have a little bit of training, but when the kid takes off and he starts playing the piano like a virtuoso, you sit there and you say, you know what? That might have come from somewhere else, not just here. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, past lives, filters, you know, how you react, what you're afraid of. Yeah, there's too much that's not coincidental.
No, I agree. Definitely.
How about you?
Myself.
Dana, come on.
Yeah, come on, Dana.
To the microphone.
Okay.
I know you've got something.
You know, I've done the past life regression classes here, and I hadn't done it before, but I think the very first class I did, I had this experience where I went into London. I knew the year 1876. I came up with this transformational vibration phrase. I saw myself in clothes from that period. I saw myself in an auditorium room with like seats rising up like in an old-fashioned medical school that you see in the old pictures. And I was lecturing on this sort of metaphysical thing, and it was like a new kind of information at that time, and it was so real. I was astounded, and later I went and looked up this phrase that I came up with in London in the 1870s. I came up with this exact same phrase that people were experiencing at the time, and it was kind of controversial. It's a metaphysical thing, and it was, you know, sort of like what we do today, which can be controversial. But at the time, I was sort of in the forefront of that, and I thought, how bizarre, because I'm doing the same thing now as I was doing back then at that time. you know, sort of exploring all of these at the time New Age. Now it's New Age, too. It's, you know, New Age is an old-fashioned term anymore. But at the time, it was like looking for answers, just like physics, just like the advanced physics and what you think energy is and how it works and how you communicate through energy or the time warp continuum kind of thing, that the time goes forward and backward. And it was an astounding experience for me, you know. And I just, that was here in one of the very first classes I took here.
Did you ever investigate to try to find out who you possibly could have been?
That's a little harder, but I only went so far in my investigation. I got freaked out totally by the finding the exact phrase that I came up with, which I had never heard of before. That one I thought was pretty telling, you know, confirmation that, hey, maybe I was there. And I knew, and I could see the street, and I could see what I was wearing, and I knew the year, and I could see the place, and it was just quite, it was just too much detail that I had no previous knowledge of. You know, it was just sort of, was all there as an event happening.
I've had past life experiences, but not when I've tried to do it. I get them sometimes when I'm sleeping, except one time I had it when I was awake, but they're not dreams. They feel different from dreams.
Mm-hmm.
They're not chaotic like dreams. Like, they make sense.
They make sense.
They happen in real time.
You're walking down the street.
You feel comfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know that it was a dream except for, you know, odd things that would happen, like seeing myself in a window and realizing that the person looking back at me wasn't me. It was a totally different person. I think the first time that happened to me, it was kind of freaky because it wasn't me now realizing I had been somebody else. It was the person at that time realizing that at another time I'm somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very strange.
Mm.
And most of the time I've been a man. It was a woman a few times, but most of the time I'm a man.
That's a whole other show, Diane.
The only time you were a woman, you got off.
Yeah, the violent things happened when I was a woman. The men had pretty good lives, I think, except, I don't know. But, you know, it's funny because it doesn't really matter what the outside is. I'm always the same person on the inside. I know they always make fun of me and my family, and they say, who are you today? And I say, you know, it's always me. The container is different, but it's always me. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's so.
And we always carry things like that we were interested in or from our past into this life. And then, you know, when you're doing the regression or afterwards, you're like, oh, like it just gives you insight onto, you know, who you are now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine was like 150 years later, but it's exactly the same.
You're the same type of
same type of person, right?
Yep.
Interested in the same thing.
I know when I did my very first regression, it was with somebody, you know, and she sent us back to a few different lives. And I remember my reaction like that to it, because in my past life, the very first one I ever got was I was a witch. In that, like at that time period, they
mm-hmm.
thought I was a witch, but I wasn't burned at the stake, I was hung. And I remember seeing myself running through the woods, I remember having no shoes, I remember dogs biting at my heel, I could feel the dogs biting at my feet. And I then flashed back, so it was weird, because like I started at when I was getting hung, and then I went back.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't start at the beginning and get up, it was weird. And I went back to how I ended up in that place, and I saw myself, looking at myself, I saw myself standing over a woman who was sick in bed with my hands over her, like I do my healing now.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the husband was looking in at what I was doing, and he literally thought I guess he thought I was, you know, a witch, because what is she doing? You know, he was freaking out, so I guess he went and told them I was a witch, and that's what happened. So, you know, what's funny is that's what I do. I heal now, you know, and maybe nowadays still people think you're still like that. But the one thing I did realize was
any past life I went back to, I had no shoes on. I had bare feet. And I, I don't ever like shoes on my feet when I'm here in the store. I always have socks on. But I don't like my feet bare. I don't like to wear shoes, but I don't like my feet bare. So I always have my socks on, and if not, then I have flip-flops, or like if it's in the summer. And the other thing is like the you know, sometimes, you know, I used to get bursitis and stuff in my feet. Like my feet, I would have issues. And it's when I went back and you know, realized that, you know, I've not had any problems. Because, like, I don't know if it was just, I guess, a cell memory that I was always bringing. Because once you give any energy to pain, you're going to get more of it, you know. And the other thing is my throat has always been one of my weakest things. When I get sick, I get a horrible sore throat. And I remember feeling when I was getting hung. I remember that feeling of, like, tightness and rawness. And I also, I'm claustrophobic. I don't like anything. So there were a lot of things that I actually did release. Like, it got a lot of them. Like, now when I look back, I'm like, oh. So, but then I don't look back on it as a bad thing. I'm like, oh, cool. I was, you know, a healer back then, too. It's just, I might have, you know, got hung for it. But at least I know it's something I carried through. You know, in that same regression, the next one I went into, I had no shoes on again. I was really in this poor town, and I was teaching. It's just like maybe 8 kids. And I remember going, oh, because, you know, that's what I do. I like to teach, you know. And years ago, I used to teach children, but it's funny that, again, I had no shoes on. So I just think it's neat how, you know, whichever lives we go to are usually the ones that we need something for, or something that have some type of impact on us now. I've seen too many times in our regressions after the last few years where that a person that I had no idea who they were, if it was somebody brand new, and we would get the same life, and you just can't make that stuff up, you know. So it's amazing, like how the mind works.
Well, one of the more striking ones was a couple of weeks ago when we did a past life, but I think I went to the future, and you saw that. You know, and that was the most. And I'm laying there in my meditative state and watching this unfold, and I'm saying, oh my God, this is real. I can see this. This is real. You know, I've never. You know, it was like I was watching a porthole into a future event that had something to do with me. And Jackie described it to a T, slightly different, but the shapes and the colors, and she said, Dana, I've seen something. It doesn't look like a past life. It's really strange. And I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was our descriptions of it were, and she's sitting across the room from me. I'm over in the other corner laying on the floor with my eyes closed. And it's like, you can't make these things.
No,
no. You know, and that's partly what I believe about time. Time is not a set thing. It's forward, backward. It's not a... It's a fluid thing, that you can move around in, and I just think my past life actually went to the future somehow, and that I was watching it unfold. I still don't know what it meant, but it was just kind of a good...
I've had other lives on other planets.
Astounding, you know.
I don't know if they're past or present or... One was really nice. One was just bizarre. I can't say it was bad. When I, in my human form... The creature that I was is kind of scary, but when I was there on that, in that place, it was just normal. You know, it was just
the
normal.
You and the UFOs and the aliens.
The creatures were kind of creepy, but the farm planet was nice. That was good. And the only really reason I realized that it was another place was, even though the people look kind of humanoid, you know, they look like humans. About the same, shorter maybe, but not much different. But the plant life and the animal life was totally, totally different. And but it was a good day. Spent the whole day farming out in the field. And when I woke up, I was so sad. It was like it was such a good day.
Well, maybe it was your half life.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave, and then I found out I was here, and I went, no, I want to go back. It was simple and it was hard work, but it was good. I don't know. That was a
happy thing. That's how you live now. You like to be simple. You work hard.
Yeah. I like to keep my life uncomplicated.
Simple,
So past lives, you can work out problems with friends or issues?
Everything.
Or,
you know, friends, issues, illnesses. Some people bring things, you know, they have weaker spots. You know, we've seen people who have, like, they were killed in a past life, and maybe they were, you know, stabbed in the back or shot in the back, and that's actually a weak spot.
And that's why you don't like to sit with your back to the door.
Mm-hmm. All little things like that, you know.
Or else you live in mafia country, I don't know.
I mean, I know people who had issues with needles and stuff. Like, they were scared to death of needles every time they went to the doctor. And they had gone back into a past life and found out they had been in, like, some kind of asylum or something, and they were literally like a pincushion for somebody doing tests on them. And you don't even think, like, how is that even possible? But I always tell people, they can say whatever they want, but don't say it unless you've tried it, and don't say it just out of ignorance, you know, and just because, you know, it's not the right thing to do. Yeah, absolutely, because a lot of times there have been people who have never done past life before. They were very skeptical of it. They just didn't believe in it, and they come to a regression, and they were completely changed because what they got themselves, they couldn't believe, you know.
Whether they recognized it.
Yes.
They recognized it as themselves.
Yep. And so I think it's great. I think it's, you know, I guess it's hard for me sometimes to understand how people, I do feel like people are, you know, narrow-minded when it comes to certain things. But if you're going to believe in ghosts, why not believe in past life? Because there are people like that. They believe in ghosts. They believe in the other stuff. They will not believe you could be in another life. So
basically, it's a bit of reincarnation is what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's them just not believing that could be possible, you know. But, I mean, we've obviously seen that on TV. We were just talking about some of the shows that they have out, which are phenomenal.
The kids.
Yeah, The Ghost in My Child. I saw one a couple of weeks ago that totally blew me away.
Which one was it?
It was one where that one in particular kept, you know, remembering himself as a person, and that he had, you know, died in a fire and that type of thing. And it ended up being, it was a black person, and the mother had just never, like, she actually did research and found the building, and and then she's like, I never thought of asking him what color was his skin, you know. And like, he was describing everything to a T, his name, they have their names, like, all of that stuff, and that's really when, you know, the memory is amazing. And they did say, in some of them, as they got older, that got farther and farther away, so their memory wasn't as clear. Which is what happens with all of us with psychic ability. We're all born with it. And if we use it and we're developing it as we're young and we keep doing it, it gets stronger and stronger. Most of the time when we start getting those weird things, which every kid does, there's boogeymen, there's this, they're talking to somebody invisible, it gets shut off. And then you don't use it. And then maybe you'll get it back later when you're older, but, you know, that's why
I just remembered this, and not too long ago, is like, when I was like 4 years old, I would sit in my little table, I'd have my tea party, it was time to go to bed, I didn't want to go to bed, they would turn off all the lights, she said, she's going to go to bed, you know, she didn't want to sit in the dark. My mother would be hearing me out, talking to somebody, having my tea party in the pitch black, until she finally said, all right, enough of this. And get up and grab me and throw me into the bed. But it was like every night I was having a tea party in the pitch black, talking to them, and it was like they just didn't want to have anything to do with it, you know. And they didn't understand how I could
be doing
it.
Most people don't.
I think that's the big reason why a lot of kids lose their ability is just the pressure from their parents and stuff, or you know, your parents saying.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just having a daydream or a nightmare, or it's your imagination running away with you, and they're discouraged from developing.
Or you say you saw something, they're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, okay, that's what you saw.
Well, I remember my uncle telling me about something he saw as a kid, and my grandmother was living with us at the time, and it just made me laugh, because here's my middle-aged uncle telling me this story, and my grandmother was going, oh, you just had a nightmare, you know. Just like he was 5 years old, and he was going, I did not, I really saw it.
Well, people nowadays are much more open. I mean, there are still some that aren't, but I have to say, like, even in the 4 years we've been in business, it's
opened up.
It's tripled in people giving it a chance. People that never would even walk in here when we first opened that now are here all the time. Yeah, Charlie's a perfect example. He was skeptical, and now he's like one of the biggest, he's experienced everything.
Well, it's widespread because of the television. They wouldn't do all these shows otherwise.
No.
There are so many ghost shows, and all of these, and the documentaries about these things are just quite wonderful.
Yep.
And,
Well, it's how do you explain the unexplainable?
Yeah.
You really have to think out of the box. Like I said, we always say it's there until we prove it isn't. Where other people are like, yeah, until you prove it to me, it's not there. And, and past lives are no different. I can't say we've ever had a time where somebody didn't get, I have to say for Charlie, there have been many occasions that when I pulled up a life for Charlie, he was in biblical times or around churches, religion, like a higher up type of person. So it was not odd that in this life, Charlie is the same kind of person, And we've done regressions where we've tried to see who in our lives right now has fit into it,
right.
Maybe back in a past life, and we've picked those up as well, that's so-and-so.
We probably have a lot of listeners that agree with everything that we're saying. What about the people that haven't experienced it yet? Tell us how you would get somebody to actually start to get into past life.
I have done that. And what I did to one person once was, I had done energy work on them. And I don't know why I tapped into past life, because he was a little, leery about past lives. He's like, I think we had a regression or something. He's like, I might be a little interested, I'm not sure. And I just said to him, I'm like, you had a past life on the railroad. Like, you were actually, building the railroad. And he turned white as a ghost, and he was like, oh, my God. My grandfather worked on a railroad his whole life, and I'm obsessed with railroads. And he was like, he didn't even know what to say. So sometimes that is what I do. Sometimes I'll just, blurt something out. Because if we're talking about it, sometimes it'll come up. I'll just get the image. And, you just tell them. And the only other thing you can do is ask, what is it going to hurt to try it? The thing is when you get somebody where their religion is involved, they feel like they're doing something wrong if they try it. And that's the part where you can't really push it when it's something, to that degree. They have to just, like you said, think, and you're religious and you did it.
Well, hang on a second.
Spiritual.
I hadn't been to a church in a long time. And about 10 years ago, I got involved with the church, and the pastor was an extremely good teacher. And we had discussed the fact about seances and, going to get a reading and all of that stuff. And his answer to me was, don't do it. And I went, don't do it. I was like, wait a minute, why? He goes, well, you shouldn't be doing that. You should only worship one God. I said, I'm not worshiping anybody except God. I said, I just want more answers. I said, when I pray to God, I said, I'm praying to him because I believe he's alive. I said, and we're supposed to be under the impression that if we die, we're going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Our spirit's going to go somewhere. So
be alive.
Right. And where are all these spirits? And if I could talk to one of them or all of them, wouldn't that be a great thing? Well, it's not good. You shouldn't be doing that. And you know what I found out? I found out that, certain religions and certain pastors, ministers, whatever you want to call them, they will sit there and they'll tell you what's convenient for them. Or they'll tell you what the standard company policy is in the church as to what you should believe. Just like if you go into a Catholic church, you don't find the Bible in the pews. You find the hymnals, but you don't find any Bibles around. Why is that? The only reason I come up with is maybe they just don't want you to read the Bible and know what's going on and have your own opinion. They'll tell you. Some other churches read the Bible word for word, and they believe it word for word when they don't take into consideration the fact of the time frame,
yeah,
and the customs at the time and how they had to translate things into stories so people would remember them and think
and
about them.
And they chose what they put in.
And they chose what they put in.
And who was in power at the time to choose the women into the Bible.
So,
right?
I mean, when people come in here, I'm excited to see them with new people when they come into the shop because obviously they're looking for something, number one. Number two, I know they're going to find it here because this is probably the only place on the whole East Coast that actually gives you what you're looking for. And number three, you've got the idea of the fact that, okay, if there, just possibly if there is a past life, and if you can start to tap into that, and if you make contact with that past life and you can see why you are today because of what happened before, mm-hmm, wouldn't that make you a better person? Doesn't that put all the different things together so that you become the person you should be? I mean, I've told you many times, I'm not afraid of anything. Things don't scare me. I make it a little weirded out sometimes. Like the other night when, you know, I heard that sound and I thought it was Bigfoot up the street from my house. I'm serious. I mean, you know, something where there are certain types of fears that are good fears because it protects you.
Right.
And there are certain types of fears that are basically, they don't mean anything. They're just in your mind.
They're based on ignorance.
They're based on ignorance. I mean, sometimes, now only sometimes, I'm not afraid of too many bugs. But sometimes I'm afraid of a centipede. Why? Because they seem to move faster than I do.
Yeah.
that's why.
I don't like them.
And I mean, I'm a big guy. I can move pretty quick, but I just, they skeeve me out sometimes. Sometimes
actually,
I don't care.
And some of them are poisonous.
And some of them bite. Some of them are poisonous. But the idea here is the fact that there are good fears sometimes. But if you could go back and figure out what that fear came from,
mm-hmm,
that makes you a better person because now you know how to deal with it better, you know? And when somebody walks in here and they're looking for something, I mean, or they actually make a connection or they feel something. When we have our ghost investigations up at the cemetery and people come back and they're so excited when they've got orbs on their, mm-hmm, on their cameras, and they'll take three shots instantly and they'll see orbs and then they won't see orbs on the same shot.
Right.
And you sit there and go, holy crap, and these people are excited. What better is it than that? I mean, it's not the fact that you're doing something that shouldn't be done. You're actually investigating. Investigating is to find the truth,
mm-hmm,
to see what's going on. So,
well, my sister passed away roughly 5 years ago last Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And her son, my nephew, after that got married and they had a little boy. And then they had a little girl last year born on the anniversary of, which would have been her grandmother's passing, my sister's passing. So they named her Sydney Diane. My sister's name is Diane. So, and they said, you know, she's a fearless little girl, you know. And I thought, I can hardly wait. I just met her as a baby, but I want to watch her grow up. And I just want to see my sister in her. Because I just feel like my sister, part of my sister, mm-hmm, has come back through her granddaughter in this. And it's just, you know, it's all coincidence.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence? Yeah. Born on the anniversary of, you know?
No.
I do not believe in coincidences.
I don't either. And I so,
yeah, we.
So this is a future event that I'm watching unfold,
mm-hmm,
which is a past life event, but a future event,
right,
at the same time.
Well,
it's quite exciting, actually.
I'm so glad you said coincidence again, because I just got to tell you something, okay? I work for a financial institution, and a woman came into the institution. I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to say that. But she came in and she sat there and she says her husband is leaving her. They've been married 45 years. I sat there, wow, yeah, and she's telling me all of this stuff. And it was mind-boggling because she seemed like a really nice woman, but then again, I'm only getting one half of the story. She sits there and she says, I have to close my accounts out because I don't want them taking my money. This is what I need. There's not much in there, but let me do this. So I said, okay, great. So we take it out, and she had two accounts, and I closed them out. And I added them together, and I told her, I said, you're going to get back $626.51. And she looks at me, and she falls back in her chair, and she says, oh, my God. I said, was that too small? Is that too much? What is that? Wait, how much, you know, did you expect more? She goes, how much? I said, $626.51. She goes, that's my birthday.
Holy
June 26th, 1951. I said, you know what? sometimes, I said, this is not a coincidence. Sometimes signs come up to tell you that you're doing the right thing. I said, if you feel that he's been, you know, against you in any way, and you're making a decision to do this now, 62651 is telling you you're doing the right thing. And she was so ecstatic about it because she really did want to get out of the marriage. He left her to go live with her good girlfriend, okay? Oh. And she wanted to make sure she had her money. Unbelievable. Coincidence? I don't think so. There were signs everywhere.
But she recognized that.
She did.
Yeah, she recognized it and took it as an affirmation of the right decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. She was floored when I gave her the amount of the two accounts I added together. So, I mean, you sit there and you say, wow, what happens in that case? Well, that might be some of the past coming in with part of the future, saying the future is going to be great. Just keep moving. Don't stop. Don't look back. Just get it done. And you know what? I got excited for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the end of the day. I was already beat. I was tired of taking care of people and, you know, trying to solve their many problems. And she came in. I was like, oh, here we go, you know. And then all of a sudden, when I was getting up from my desk to go cash the checks for her so she could have her money, and I said to her, it's going to be $626.51, and she just, I'm telling you, she looked at me like, what? And I said, told her again, and she goes, that's my birthday. And I went back around behind my desk to look at her contact screen, and that was her birthday.
When you hear a date come up, and it's your birthday, it comes up in the news. Doesn't that make you stop in your tracks?
Oh, yeah.
And you say, wow, there's something about this that I should be relative to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then whenever your birthday comes up, if you hear your birthday, it's something probably telling you, listen up.
Yeah.
You know, it's something. Or sometimes it's something that comes up that catches your attention. Don't ever just say it's coincidental.
Right.
Don't ever sit there and say, hey, you know what, it's maybe it just happened.
Right.
No, it's something that actually means something. And, you know, we've talked about this before. You got to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen. You can't discount these things.
Well, that's why it's good when you do these kind of things, because you're in such a deep meditative state.
Yeah.
You can't not get what you're supposed to get. Even if, like Dana, maybe she got something from the future. Maybe it wasn't the pack, but it's what she was meant to have. So when you're that deep of a meditative state, you're going to get what you're supposed to get.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why we don't believe in coincidence. It's just a matter of it's going to be what it's supposed to be.
Speaking about coincidence also, I don't think it's coincidence that you run into the people you run into in your life.
No, they're from your past life.
Exactly. And I've had a number of readings that Jackie tells me that this person has been in your past life, and when I initially meet a person and I get to know who they are, I know that I've known them before. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. So I don't think it's...
That's you and me.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that you run into these people in your life again.
Nope.
And some people I know I've known in more than one past life.
Yep.
They've been around for the long haul.
I felt that way about my cat. And because... Well, when I went to pick him up at the pound, when I walked through the door, and he saw me coming, he stuck his paws through the grate. He was, you know, crying. And the more I looked at the other cats, the louder he got. So I finally went up to him, and I said, you're trying to tell me something, right? So I adopted him. But I always felt like we'd been together before. And especially when he would do something mischievous, I would look at him and I'd say, this is payback, right? Because I think I was his cat at one point. But I always felt like we'd been together. So it's not just human sometimes. I think sometimes you can have a connection with an animal, too.
Sometimes it's better with an animal. I'm just saying. I had a dog that just passed away just before Christmas. And I tell you what, she was the sweetest little dog. A little dog, okay. For me, a little dog is 40 pounds, okay. So she was, for me, all my other dogs have been much larger. But she had the sweetest disposition. She loved me. And, you know, you sit there and you say, just like with the cat, you sit there and you talk to this animal and you see that they respond.
Yeah.
They respond.
I used to talk to him, and he had a whole vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
He had different trills and chirps and sounds that he would make, And I always knew what he wanted by how he was vocalizing. And, you know, he would answer me when I talked to him. And I knew what he said, except a couple of times I actually heard it in my head. But I always felt like we knew each other before, and we will know each other again.
We could do a whole thing on meditating with your pet. I mean, yeah, think about it, because you talked about energy work and how you could actually do energy work on your animal, mm-hmm. whatever animal that is, right? And you know what? The power of touch, just the energy that you have in your own hands. You don't have to be a healer, but you can. I'm positive you can transform your energy into something else. And,
that's what we do when
we
pray.
Absolutely, when you pray. Absolutely.
Well, and also animals see visual images, and you can project visual images rather than words.
Mm-hmm.
And like, visually imagine you stroking them or feeding them. And that they supposedly, I've been watching some programs about this, and that's how they can understand you better. By projecting a picture of what you mean
mm-hmm.
for them, you know. And it's quite remarkable.
It's, you know what, it's amazing because you sit there and you think about the fact that what you've done in your past lives,
mm-hmm.
what you're going to do in your future lives, where you're going to go, what's going to happen, who you're going to be with. And then you think about the present. The present is so finite. It's so small.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much we're doing here, believe me. But the best thing you could do is to realize where you've been, maybe where you're going, and conform your life now as to how you can best serve both sides, where you've been and where you're going now, by taking care of things. If you don't take care of things now, you know, there might not be a person to do it. So you got to do something yourself, but that's getting a little religious type of deal here. I wanted you to talk a little bit about how would you get somebody to actually start moving towards looking at a past life. You said you would say something about a past life.
Yeah, if I'm getting it.
If they wanted to come in, how would you get them?
Usually I tell them, like, what benefits other people have gotten out of
mm-hmm.
it. You know, sometimes I ask them, do they have anything that they have, like, strong issues with now,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something they're trying to release? Or
okay.
do they ever feel like, you know, there's people in their lives that they feel like they've known for a long time? Things like that, because usually they have all that, and usually they're actually the ones that bring that up. And then I'll mention, you know, that we do past life regressions. There are people that want to do one-on-one sessions. I have done them too, but it's definitely, I think, more, it's fun in a group listening to the other lives people have gotten, you know, and...
Or people might not get anything for...
Yeah,
or they think they might not.
And, yeah. And sometimes they don't get it in the regression, but they'll get it when they go home and go to sleep in their dream. And the one thing about the regression, too, is even if they don't get something, I at least get something for them. So they come out with something. And they usually, it's rare, it's for most people, it's the actual guided meditation part and the relaxing part they have an issue with. A lot of times somebody's coming to a regression, they've never even meditated before. You know, so their mind and their body can't even wrap itself around what they're trying to do and just getting themselves into that relaxed mode. So the fact that they can even go through the guided meditation is a big thing. You know?
Big start, yeah.
But a lot of times they'll go home, they'll get something when they go to sleep, and they're like, whoa, you know, because that's where they feel relaxed. You know, so they actually got that part of the regression. It's just their mind didn't, you know, give them the information until, you know, they went home.
But if they meditate, and they don't get anything,
mm-hmm.
nada. Let's say they come here five times, and they don't get
anything.
Yeah, that's
rare. That's never happened.
Okay,
I'm
exaggerating, but let's say...
I would suggest them to meditate as much as they can at home to
perfect.
Get themselves used to
perfect.
Getting into that relaxed state.
Okay.
Meditation is great for everything, but they have meditations where you can, you know, go back to a past life. So if somebody is a little uncomfortable doing a group one, they can, you know, try doing it that way.
Try YouTube.
You know, on their own.
I've found them on YouTube before, and they're very good meditation.
Yeah.
Very good meditation.
They have a meditation for everything out there. So,
but it is really important if you go to a group setting, you have to try and get into that relaxed mindset. But also sometimes you are getting things, and you think it's your own mind getting them, and I've done that before.
Mm-hmm.
My very first past life regression,
I went into this deep, deep meditation, and I started, this scene started to play in my head. It was like colorful housing and dirt street in New Orleans. However, recently I've been talking about taking a trip to New Orleans, so I was like, oh, well, this is just my brain. I'm imagining this, but no, it was a past life, because when Jackie did her reading for me, that was what she got. I was a black slave woman in a southern state. I had, a big header up on my head. Later on, I Googled it. I showed Jackie the picture of black slave women in Louisiana, and they all wore these big head wraps, mm-hmm. and that's what it was. But I was overthinking it, so I kicked myself out of my own past life.
It's a cool thing, because I have no idea. Everybody, it's the running joke here. I'm really bad with, like, time frames, and it, so I, like, describe to everybody what it is I'm seeing, and they know what it is. But I have no idea what those big head wrap things are, and I just was like, yeah, it's this big thing, like a turban on our head.
It's probably why you wanted to
and,
go to...
But she knew what it was, you know, like, and, you know, same
I
thing.
I do, I love it there. And the past life that Jackie gave for me was a pretty pleasant past life, so...
I had a memory once, though I wasn't meditating or sleeping, or I was driving to work, and I was in the military, and I'm in my car, and I see this guy walking down the street, another service member, and he had this, back when they could still have beards, he had this beautiful beard. It was trimmed well, and he looked really spiffy in his uniform, and he's walking down the street, and I looked at him, and I said, wow, maybe I should grow my beard back. And then I started going down the street, then I just burst out laughing, like, you know, like, how absurd was that? But
a beard, you'd be making a lot of money.
At the time, in my head, I had a picture of myself wearing a suit with a bowler hat and a beard and a high starch collar. And I thought, oh, maybe I should grow it back. And then I started laughing.
I think you should. Yeah, that'd be great.
But, you know, I wasn't even meditating or anything like that. It was just popped into my head.
You know, we're talking a lot about meditation. And tell us what types of things you find out on YouTube. What type of things that you could listen to that could meditate?
Oh, you could listen to all sorts of meditation.
Chanting or beating drums or what?
Yes.
You know, it's music.
For peace and relaxation. Crickets. Money.
Meditation for past life. Mm-hmm. Meditation for astral projection.
So you go out there and you actually look
for
that. Okay.
Meditation for money.
Yes.
Meditation for self-worth. Meditation for...
Meditation to healing. Yep.
So it's all out there.
Is guided, non-guided, anything.
And there's some wonderful ones, absolutely wonderful ones. I mean, listening to, I was, you know, blessed to have a one-on-one interview with a Tibetan monk last week, and it was like, so he gave me this paper written out with a chant, but I couldn't even read it. You know, it's like written in whatever Tibetan and stuff. So I just went on YouTube. I found this wonderful. It was almost the same chant that I could see written out, but it's like.
Was he the guy that gave you those monkey balls? What?
No.
Monkey.
Monkey.
No.
Monkey. I didn't say the monkey. I said monkey.
Charlie, no.
I'm asking you. No,
Vera Miles on.
Vera, okay. Well, I thought she gave you
but
a pair.
But you use those for meditation, don't you?
I do, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not, you know, they're monkey.
Monkey balls. They got nothing to do with the Tibetan monk. Okay?
Well, not his anyway, no.
No, but what I'm saying is I found this wonderful, it's an 8-minute Buddhist meditation for healing that is just quite wonderful. It's just so simple to do, 8 minutes in the morning.
Now, chanting or what is it?
Well, it's a thing. You sing chant.
You sing chant,
but it's like three lines, you know, and it's just, I use that one, and then there's, I've got another one I found, it's a 15-minute meditation for healing, which is a guided visual meditation. I lay there in bed with my eyes closed and do this 15-minute meditation every morning.
You know, it's funny.
I can't do guided meditations. I just can't.
I'm starting to relate back to a friend of mine that was in the Catholic Church. And don't the priests or somebody sing those things that are like a chant? I forgot what they call them. It's just like two lines of music. And they do all that stuff.
They do that in the Episcopal Church a lot.
In the Episcopal Church. Okay.
And Jewish faith, the cantors sing.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always thought I had a Jewish background. I don't know why.
Did you go back that way?
Well, no, not yet, but I'm hoping. You know, well, you said I was Moses, so.
Yeah. You look like
well,
Moses.
Well, you know,
you definitely have
a lot of singing.
Had a big famous,
I mean, they sing for hours.
Yeah.
They have, you know, and
it
this is
like
an 8-minute one. You know?
Yeah.
Moses
my,
was an Egyptian.
My joke lasts 8 minutes.
No. No, he was in.
Moses was an Egyptian.
It was during biblical times.
I had a white robe, you told me. Big white robe.
Dude,
and then when I did
there
it,
somebody
I
had, else in your life at that time too. I think it was Dana.
In my life,
I just
got
sucked up by aliens.
Yeah.
Were you my?
I was probably opposing nasty priest or something. You know?
A nasty priest
on the other side.
On the other side. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, Diane, you come in other people's past lives, right?
Yes,
Mark was in yours, or you were in Mark.
You were Mark.
In a war.
Oh yeah.
You fought up military a lot too.
And I actually, many years ago, I had a past life dream where I had been hung. But years later, not for being a witch, though, for being a spy. But years later, I had a friend, a good friend of mine in Virginia, and we were having lunch one day, and she asked me if I'd ever done a past life regression. I never even heard of it. I mean, I believed in past lives, but I didn't know you could actually do a regression. And she played me this tape that they had made, you know, when she had been hypnotized in a past life. And listening to what she went through, I realized that her past life tied into mine. And while I'm listening to this tape, it was like, you know, goosebumps and everything. And I was like, and finally she goes, "What's the matter?" And I went, "That's how they found out I was a spy." Yeah. You know, you told them that. She didn't mean to. She was just a kid. Actually, they followed her to the place where the spies met. She used to hide there. She was a little girl.
Hmm.
And she used to hide there. And they followed her one day.
And that's what she got in her past life regression?
Yeah.
But don't you think it's amazing the detail that people get in their regressions?
Yeah.
It is impossible to make that kind of stuff up. You might make up being out on a big hill, walking through some flowers, going by the lake, but the details that you get in regressions, whether it being seeing the, you know, the whatever's on the arms of your, you know, military uniform or the hat, the way the face looks and, you know, what you're wearing, the years, like it's just, how do you explain that?
Sorry,
Diane. I think any time that you're walking around and you smell a familiar smell, but there's no way that smell is happening from somewhere nearby, that has to be a residual from a past life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been times I've been walking through my house or the apartment, and I'll smell like a lavender. It smells like summertime. That's how I describe it. And I know that no one in my life smells that way. No one I know that's past has smelled that way. I'm like, where does this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a past life, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it's either something like that or it's somebody who's crossed over. With somebody letting you know they're there. They might not be a relative of yours. It might be somebody just in the place, too. So.
Well, how about Flay's house when we were over in the other town there and he had the one room? And he says, "You might smell perfume."
The perfume.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, some did and some didn't. And I was like, "You can't smell that?" I'm sitting
there. Oh, I know. And it was
like
that old,
poured it on you.
Long ago.
The old perfume.
Like toilet water perfume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, we don't take baths. We just put
perfume
on us, you know.
Yep.
That was really strong that night. That was amazing. But, you know, everybody does it. Well, you know what? People talk about the meditation and everything here at the shop when you do it with us. And it's almost like the show now, you know. We meditate a little bit, and Jackie has us meditate a certain way, just like she's got us here. You know, we do this radio show naked, just like it was. Like we meditate. Actually, no, we don't. You can look through the window. We're not naked, okay? The idea
dancing
is...
Dancing around a fire.
Yeah, dancing around a fire. Somebody came to the store last night just before we were done, And we told them that, you know, there might be a fire in here. We might dance around naked. And the wife said, well, I'll honk when I go past. Well, we don't do that. But the idea of meditation takes you into a lot of different areas. I didn't realize that you could go out onto YouTube and find a particular meditation for a particular thing that you want to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll probably go out there tonight and start looking. Because the more you meditate, you said it, the more you meditate,
exactly
the more you get in tune.
What we do, the one we do before psychic development is specifically to, you know, balance your chakras and open up your third eye. So it's specifically to open up your third eye. So that's a meditation.
You
that's
can find meditation
to
open up your third eye on YouTube.
Yep.
The pineal gland.
Yeah, pineal gland and all that. I'm still... Okay, maybe I don't know what I'm looking for here, okay? But when we do meditation or when we're doing energy work on me and you weren't anywhere near my head, okay, I feel right here in the middle of my forehead like I got an eyelid opening up here. I swear to God, I always feel like you were always touching my forehead and you weren't. And you know why? Because now when you're in here and we're in the other room and you're doing the meditation, I still feel that.
Yep.
I feel something right
doing.
Here. Okay.
You're stimulating
okay.
your third eye.
But I'm not looking out through it.
No.
Yet.
Will I?
No. But what I'm saying is, will I go like this and say, oh, yeah, there you are. Yeah. Will I be able to see you with my two eyes closed? Will I open up and I'll be able to see? Or it's just
we'll see
a
my projected image.
We'll just call you Cyclops.
Yeah. What would we expect then from the meditation with the third eye open?
Well, exactly what you're doing when you're working on your psychic development after you do meditation, you're able to get more information or see more or get your visitation for doing mediumship.
Okay.
That's what it's doing. It's opening up your awareness.
Okay, because last night when we were here, I told you I couldn't. When I was writing down a conversation, I couldn't write fast enough.
That was awesome.
I could not write fast enough. And what scared the heck out of me first, when I first started telling you what happened, was she said, why are you calling me? And I said, I'm not calling you. And she goes, yes, you are. Why are you calling me? And then I told you. She said, why are you calling me? And you said, well,
you're calling her.
And I'm like,
calling her in.
Oh, yes, I guess
Hazel.
I am.
Harriet.
Harriet. Did you find anything about Harriet?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You didn't ask her anything. If you come up with a name, Harriet, look at my hair. My hair standing up on my arms because she was screaming at me from right over there. I kept looking down there, and she was saying, my name's Harriet. And I was like, okay, Harriet, okay. And I was thinking, she must have been somebody somewhere along the line there.
Now, were you talking to dead people 3 years ago?
I wasn't talking to anybody 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I was like, you know, the proverbial Italian words, like, I'll find all you, that's it, I'm done, you know? But the idea here is that, actually, it was only 2 years ago, February, that I've been coming here. 2 years ago.
It feels
a lot longer, right?
That was our class when we started the class.
Yeah, well, that's when we did the class for the ghost investigations. And you sat there, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, you know what, I had always been interested in it, all the stuff. Mostly the investigations, not so much the psychic development or anything. You too, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get into the ghost investigations, and then Jackie says, well, the more psychic development you do, the more open you're going to be to actually experience. So that's what we did. We took
well, because
classes.
You two were two of the people that were interested in more of the intuitive side.
Right.
You know, and some people are interested in more of the scientific and the equipment side. And the only way you're opening up your intuitive side is to use it. Physical therapy, you know,
absolutely.
Constantly using it, constantly keeping it going. You weren't able to come last week because of personal reasons, and you even said, like, you can feel it when you don't have it. It doesn't, whether it's energy work or psychic development, it doesn't matter. Your body gets used to it. It's just like somebody who rides their bike 4 days a week. They get sick for 3 days, and they got to get back on it. It's, you know, it's
practice, you know. It's
yeah,
practice.
And you notice it. You notice it when you don't. You know.
Well, you know what surprised me last night was, yes, I did miss the week. Okay, I missed a full week. And a lot of times when I come in, you're doing the psychometry or you're doing the mediumship or something, right? You're doing the astral projection, whatever. And you're just not there. It's harder to do because you haven't been doing it. You broke the chain. Last night, it was like the flood opened up. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, damn, I'm good. No. It scared me. Because, you know.
Damn, I can do readings now.
No, I didn't say
I
that.
I can come to you for a reading.
No. I might come up with somebody else named Harry, and I don't know. But the idea here is that, you know, when you start to, like when I started to write this down, and I'm asking questions and I'm getting answers that I'm not thinking the answer. It's just coming to me.
Right, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay, well, just like when I told you I was talking to my uncle that time, and it was just like he was sitting in the car with me, mm-hmm. and I'm going along, and I'm sitting there saying, he says, "Hey, Charles," and I'm like, "Hello," and I could hear his voice. I knew who it was. And he goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm driving to work." I said, "How are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm doing just fine." I said, "Well, where are you?" And he said, "If I told you that, I'd have to kill you." You know, but it was just his personality. His personality was coming through. And then I was asking him questions that I wasn't answering. You know, mm-hmm. and it was just shocking. And I know now, you know, he's around me. I told you I have a whole army behind me. But it's just the fact that he came through, and I really wanted him to come through sometime, anytime. Whenever we have something here and you say you have somebody come through for you, it was either my dad pushing somebody aside or, you know, somebody. But when he came through, that was special. That was special. Now, if he's doing something with Harriet, we got to find out. Might be something there. But anyway, you know, I don't know. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, you talk about, you know, Jane Doherty will be here another month.
Yep.
I mean, this month. This month. This is April. She's going to be here this month. And, you know, between you and her, being the two best medium psychics on the East Coast, I mean, think about it. Think about it. Jane Doherty and you here together? I mean, I'm surprised it won't be like a huge aura dome over the building. Think about it, right? I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Long Island medium came here to get a reading, or get energy work. She doesn't do her own energy work. She actually goes to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's something else a lot of people need.
It's better for us to do that
than
trying to, you know, focus and try to work. It's very hard to zone in and give your all to yourself like you do others, you know, because you're obviously preoccupied just like other people are with your own stuff, so.
I actually feel that the more we do here, just by being aware of, like, doing the meditations and everything, I feel that I gain a lot physically from, health-wise.
Yep.
I feel better when I leave here physically because of what I've actually experienced, you know?
Yeah.
And not the fact that I don't come for healing all the time like Diane does. I mean, you know, Diane's here regularly, and she's here all the time.
Diane's here more than regularly.
But the idea is, you know, I wish I had the time and I could do it, but some people that really need it and don't get it, that's a shame. That's a shame.
Well, without it, I would have become just as negative as the...
The rest, right?
And I didn't want to be that person. And so I just, you know, I come here and I just let it all go. And it's gone. And Jackie removes it all and balances everything out.
Diane, I have to say, she is never off. Like, she is always in the same, like, state of mind. But you don't have that many days between your energy work to get that way. So I guess, you know, it keeps you in a...
I'd do it every day if I could.
Yeah, me too.
So it's not the same as like scotch or...
I can tell.
It's better. Yeah.
It's got to be better than that because first off, you're not losing consciousness. Okay?
Yeah.
But...
some people maybe.
Yeah, but that... Okay.
They go floating to their places.
But talking about past lives, I was just wondering, when we do a ghost investigation... Has there ever been to you, and I don't think I've done enough of them yet, but has there ever been a time for you during a ghost investigation that you might have experienced one of your past lives at one of the sites?
No, I haven't yet. Not any of the ones we've been to. I have to say I've had some weird... which I don't feel they were dreams, but I have visions, I'll word it that way, before we were going into investigations or after, where I was on an investigation and it was like, it felt like it was a long time ago. And I wasn't a girl. I was a guy. And so I have had things from that I'd seen where I knew it was me, but it was like, so I was obviously doing something like that. And I don't know that we called it ghost investigations back then because it seemed like it was a really long time ago. But there are times when we go on ones, especially when we're going to a really old place. Like I'm saying like 1800s, one of those buildings, where I've had those weird...
You realize in Europe that's not real old.
So it's weird. Like I go back and I'll see, like I've done something where I was investigating, and that's how it was said, you know, through buildings and things like that, looking, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not that we've been to one that we've been to, like, you know, in any of the places we've gone, you know, ourselves, where it's that particular place that I've gotten that yet. You know, I have gotten past lives when I've gone into places where, like I did that time when I was in church, where I went back to a past life that had something to do with that, but not investigating specifically in a place, just visions of that I did it before.
Right. I was just, it gets to me because, you know, with all the past lives that we probably all have had, we probably had tons of them. You know, I wonder what it would be like if, well, like when you're walking through an area or through a house or through a building or a particular area of the state and you get this feeling of deja vu. Does that mean that you were actually there in a past life? Does that mean that you're picking up a spirit's ideas from, you know, when they were there? How does that work?
I think that works differently for everybody. Sometimes when people get that, they feel like they've experienced it before, but it hasn't even happened yet. So sometimes it's a vision you get beforehand, and you know, you feel like you've already been through it, but then when you're actually going through it, that's why you're feeling that. So I think it's for other people, I used to get that in high school.
Really?
All the time. Like, I'd be kneeling down to go to my, like, I'd be walking down the hall, and I'd be kneeling down to get into my locker, and all of a sudden I'd be like, and then the same part, like, somebody would say something, like, the ones next to me, and then I'd be like, wait a minute. Didn't I already do this? And you know, back then I didn't think, you know, about it then, like, that's weird, you know? And once in a while I did mention that to a couple of my friends. I'd be like, it's so weird. I swear you said that to me already, you know? And you're not putting those things together, you know, at that time. But then as you learn about the paranormal, you research things, you learn more about it, then all of a sudden you realize what to call everything you had. And that's what it was. Because I was always interested in the paranormal. I was always reading about mysteries. I was always reading about UFOs. It didn't matter what it was that was weird and ghosts and mystery. I mean, I wanted to be a detective because I loved mysteries. I loved Ellery Queen. Like, I was all into the stuff where you had to solve something and you couldn't explain it. So since I was so small, you know, I remember being, like, I mean, 9, 10 years old and having, like, you know, the whole, you know, book, you know, thing of all the mystery stories, whether it was, like, Trixie Belden or Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
It's just all that stuff. And I loved all the ghost ones. Like, when there was a book where it was a ghost, you know, I know it sounds funny, but when you look back at what you were interested in as a child, Scooby-Doo with all the everything was like that.
We had a deja vu at a ghost investigation. Do you remember the farmhouse? Where the tape recorder kept repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
We heard the voices repeat the same thing.
Yep.
Oh, and when I listened back to my recording of that investigation, it repeated it. It repeated it.
Yep.
What the fuck is going on? It repeated. Then we went downstairs, and then I came downstairs because I thought I heard you outside the door. It repeated it.
Yep.
In front of you guys.
Yeah.
It was but the request was picking up. That was so...
Yeah, that's... That's pretty spooky.
Somebody was playing with it by doing that.
I mentioned that to a fellow that said to me that he was a very sensitive person, and he feels you know his family had a house that was you know had spirits in it, and he would as a kid he would see people all the time, and he said to me he says whatever spirit was in his house was basically trying to scare us to get us out.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't want us there. And
yeah, thanks. I think
well,
you made that very clear.
Well, and then you said, and you said with Ron, look at Charlie's face, and I thought I'm pretty good looking, but I'm, you know, you said, look at his face, holy crap, you know, geez, it's not Charlie, and I'm like, huh? Because I was the only one that really had the light on me
yeah.
from my camera, you know, from the screen of the camera. I couldn't see you guys. You guys were in the dark. So it was kind of, you know, he really didn't want to go home with the face you would told me I had. That's not it. But I think we're gonna talk to the oil lady here?
Oh, yeah.
Is she going to be on there? You want to put her on?
Okay.
Pam.
So we're going to hear from Pam from Essential Oils, and we'll be right back in maybe 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You. Here to talk to you about Young Living Essential Oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living Essential Oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest. And don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's www.PamJordan.VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
Okay, and we're back. So what are we doing next week?
Next week we're actually going to go through the hauntings of Trinity.
No. Here? Oh, man.
We're actually going to do a little bit of discussion of what goes on here and, you know, some of the things we've collected. And Ron usually has some pretty good EVP stuff on his phone.
We get our evidence
well,
from what...
he played it off of the last... time.
Evidence
but,
of what actually goes on in the store?
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of things that go on, not just when we do investigations, just in general, like, you know, when we're here during the day or when we're during classes and, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, it'll be interesting for people who wanna actually know what it's like here. And, you know, in the future, you know, soon we'll be probably holding some investigations for the public outside to come in and experience some of that with a few of us.
You're actually going to tell people that once you leave here late at night and you lock the front door, you don't want to come back in until the morning?
No, you know what is funny? We have had people who, the stuff like creeps them out a little and they're afraid when they're here during a class because they hear all kinds of stuff here. But then you get the ones that love it, like, because we get so much, so.
Well, you had people over here last week that,
yeah.
when I wasn't here, that left here screaming.
No.
They left skid marks out in the parking lot. Like, no, I mean,
no.
Well.
No, but there was one that was a little bit, like, she just couldn't believe, like, because there was a lot going on.
Those tan pounds, yeah. pants turned brown, didn't they? Come on. She was out of here to
bowl. I think she got kind of freaked out because Jackie, her, and her friend all got the same past life in their meditation.
Yeah.
With the same little girl running through a field by a stream with the same doll.
How about that?
Which Jackie told was my past life. So I'm running around everyone's meditation state.
You can hog everything there, Mercedes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. there's a lot of activity here. And, you know, we had done a few investigations where there were open pits, like, you know, mining, open pit mines type going on. And we've got one right across from the shop here. And they just keep digging and digging and digging, opening it up even wider and wider and wider. And you know what? It seems like more and more spirits that might be able to be leaving the earth at some point like to come by the shop because it's right across the street.
And it's quiet here.
Yeah,
we're a nice bunch.
Yeah, we're a good bunch here, you know.
And hopefully we'll be able to play, like, some actual, not just us talking about it, but, you know, have a few pieces of evidence. At least
hopefully we'll have some good evidence. We can share it with you.
Yeah.
And so we got Bring a Friend coming up here on April 11th.
Yep.
What is that? What's Bring a Friend?
You bring a friend.
Okay, and what happens?
And
come on, what do you do?
And then you can have a psychic read-in for $17.50 for 20 minutes. So all of our practitioners are here. Massage therapy is $1 a minute. Energy healing is, my energy healing is $10 for 20 minutes that day. And we also have chair Reiki, which is $11 for 15 minutes. And we have Eleanor here doing psychic portraits, and her sessions are $20.
The Eleanor?
Yep.
Wow, cool. That's pretty cool. And I don't know, do people know what a psychic portrait is?
I would hope so. We've talked about it a lot. But just in case there's new people listening, Eleanor draws people who have crossed over that are with you. So if there's somebody specific that's with you that day or that night when you come in, she will draw who that is.
She's been pretty good lately, right?
Yeah.
Not lately.
I just got one. The first time I ever sat down with Eleanor, I didn't know what she did, really. So she explained everything to me, and then she drew this picture, and I sent the picture to my mother, and it was my grandmother. So, and it was dead on. Like, I put the picture side to side. I'll have to
put it on Trinity
Metaphysical page.
Okay, now Eleanor's no spring chicken. So she might have been around for anybody that could have been in one of your past lives, like from Moses on up. No, I'm kidding, Eleanor. Come on. You listening to me, Eleanor? Come on. We're only kidding.
There's wisdom there.
There's lots and lots and lots of wisdom there.
Eleanor is very good, and, you know, she sometimes she gets her spirit guides, sometimes she gets them, you know, when they're younger. There was somebody who actually got her spirit guide, and she recognized it as her spirit guide afterwards, which was great because she knew who it was that she was somebody who connected with her guides, and she knew that it was going to be a guide, and that's what it was. So Eleanor's here every Bring a Friend, so definitely, you know, check her out, and like Mercedes said, she'll put her picture up. So and the phone number for the store is 973-209-7070.
Say that one more time. I didn't write it down.
973-209-7070.
And so you don't need an appointment for Bring a Friend,
right? No, Bring a Friend is walk-in.
Okay, but any other time.
Yeah, it's best to make an appointment because we've been getting, you know, pretty busy. Saturdays I'm usually booked out 2 weeks now. So I do have random appointments open during the week, but it's best to, you know, to call, or even if you're somebody who thinks you might be in the area and you want to pop in, give a call to see if there is a spot open and you don't have to, you know, come all the way down.
You do remote readings too, right?
I do phone readings, email readings, and distance healing.
So you had somebody where? They were out in California?
I have clients everywhere. California, South Carolina, Louisiana, Africa.
No, really?
Yep. They're all over now.
Hakuna Matata. Cool.
So, yeah. So, it, you know, I, no matter which way they want it, they'll get their reading.
No, if they came in for a reading and they really liked what they heard and everything and they saw everything and they liked some of the people that were here, how long a waiting list is there to get into one of your psychic development classes?
Development... Usually I try to keep it to a limited number of people just so that everybody has, you know, we're not bombarded with space and, you know, people having enough time to get through their stuff. Because we do psychometry, and that's like in a circle. you know, so things get packed around, so I try to keep it at a decent, you know, number. But the one thing good for development is you don't have to have come to development before to just jump in. We do all different kinds of exercises. We work with all different levels. And so it's not like you have to do, you know, development one before you get to development two. It doesn't work that way. We do different things each week. So anybody can, you know, come in. But it's definitely best to call to reserve a place to make sure you have a spot, because I do keep it to a certain number. And the regression, absolutely, because that has to be a specific number. It has to be pre-registered because I give a reading as well. So, you know, I try to keep that at a certain number, too.
Okay, and if somebody came and they said, okay, I got my reading, everything's good, but I happen to have spirits in my house.
Well, then we go in and investigate.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because it's not just the fact that, you know, we pick and choose sometimes what we're doing, but if somebody came in and they said, I have spirits, I don't know what they're doing, they're angry, they're not angry, we could go in.
This is the home of the
Ghostbusters. And we are, like, packed with investigations, too, which is awesome. So, and they just keep coming.
Cool. Well, I just want to make sure.
Soon we'll be making a road trip to Delaware.
Yay.
Delaware? Come on. What's in Delaware?
My parents are in Delaware, but there are some really old towns in Delaware that are definitely worth exploring.
Newark?
No. Well, yeah. Actually, there's a lot of hauntings in northern Delaware that are recorded, and I think Newark is it, but Lewis, which is down by the beach, is an old Dutch town, and they have these old farmhouses they picked up and moved into Lewis, and I think the street they're on is called Shipbuilders Lane or something like that, but the whole street is these old farmhouses, so cool. I'm going to look into that and see if we can get down there.
Excellent. That'll be great.
Okay, so until next week, we'll be saying goodbye. This is Diane,
Jackie,
Mercedes,
Dana,
and Charlie.
So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Bye-bye.